This is Bill McMinn from Inkable Bible Church, and this is the Way to Go podcast, where we talk about faith, family, and daily life, putting the Bible into practical, everyday terms.
Welcome to the Way to Go podcast. Bill McMinn, Mark Hostetler here, talking about great stuff from James 1:17, and the main thrust of it is God is unchanging, consistent.
Yeah.
There's a theological term. He's immutable. And I was not too excited. Like, oh, what is that term? That basically just means he doesn't change. And that's good to know. And so we'll talk about that today and why that's significant for our lives. But James 1:17 is textbook passage on it. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So really, I'm driving towards that part of, hey, he doesn't change no matter what your problems are, your troubles, things that are going on in your life. There's a lot of change and things that we experience.
Right.
God is always the same. And that's good to know. You know, you might have a health problem, but God's still the same. You might have a relational difficulty, God's still the same. Yeah. You might have a financial shortfall, God is still the same. So whatever changes in your life, God is going to stay the same.
Absolutely. Those stories we read in the Bible thousands of years ago of how God showed up as the champion in this situation, as the one that poured out judgment in this situation. He's the same God acting the same way today.
Right.
And he will be forever.
Yeah. And so if God is somebody who gives you strength, which he is, then you know whatever tough time or whenever you get tired and going through those weary days, God's going to give you strength for that too. And you already know that he has. And so as you look forward, you know he's going to be there for you. But I like how every good and perfect gift is from above. Is from heaven, is directly from God, every good and perfect gift. And what are some of the gifts that you're thankful for?
Family. Absolutely. My wife, my children. You know, I've got a grandchild, you know, Brett. So I love that. My job. I love working here.
Right.
I love the fact that God gifts us with income. You know, this morning I've got a cup of coffee, like fresh water.
Right.
That, we take those things for granted, but those are precious gifts, man. Right. You talk about somebody that doesn't have that. And the, you know, the, some of the unfortunate, you know, people that aren't guaranteed a fresh cup of water every day.
Right.
Wow.
Well, John Mikolai, one of our missionaries.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he works on that. So, I mean, to me, those are gifts that I probably don't actually give enough praise to the Lord for him because, I mean, honestly, if we really realize the gifts that he pours out toward us, our whole day would be given to just thanking him for everything.
Well, you're a worship leader, and there are certainly a lot of songs that are, whether it's Raise a Hallelujah or Praising God in the Storm, because God is consistent even in those times. Now, we know a lot of times it's easier to focus on the negatives than the positives. So our mind, I remember this friend of mine, and he had this Corvette, and he actually owned it, sold it, went and found it, got sold over the years. He found it in a farm field. He went and bought his original car back, and he restored it. And one day I was looking at it, and there was one little bubble in the paint, I think, like tiny. He goes, everyone sees it. This car is perfect. Ground up restoration.
Isn't that the
Everything's
truth?
Immaculate about it. What do people see? They see that one little thing.
It's true.
And sometimes that's how we are. And we've got to realize that, look, you can't focus on only dark things that are going on without remembering things like family, health. The Spirit is one of the things I'm thankful for. To be the Holy Spirit, friends, home, food. All these things that you have, sometimes you lose sight of it and you start looking at what you don't have.
Yeah.
And recently, you know, I was in a situation where I think one of my relatives was definitely negatively impacted by looking at what he didn't have instead of all the things he did have. And when you allow that darkness, Satan loves that. I mean, he's going to love us not thinking about this, that every good and perfect gift is from above. Evil is going to thrive if we're just embracing all the negativity.
Mm-hmm. It also reminds me of the gift of salvation. I mean, it's a gift.
Right.
It's God. What Jesus Christ did for us is really, it's a gift that's given to everyone who will believe, will have faith in him. What's the gift? Eternal life.
Right.
What's the gift? Not being punished for the sinful ways that we had. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that is an incredible, generous gift from the Father.
But let's say, take a step back from that gift, because eternal life is going to affect us more in the future. What about the fact that we're physically alive?
Yeah.
That's a gift.
That's a gift.
Your life is a gift. It's a gift to you. It's a gift to others.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the truth. And we've got to come and remind ourselves of that. No, we... We have a gift just to be alive. Now, the eternal life, the way it's impacting us now is we have a new life in Christ. Mm-hmm. So you have the power to overcome anger or discouragement or temptation or addiction or whatever thing you're going through. You can overcome it with that new life today.
Yeah.
So I think about the gifts that God has given me, like life. Well, what are you doing with it?
Yeah.
You do have a great gift of life. What, aside from sitting around feeling sorry for yourself if you're going through a hard time, what are you actually doing to get out there and make a difference in other people's lives?
Hopefully you're serving. Hopefully you're getting involved in the kingdom agenda, not just this world agenda, but like getting involved in bigger things that are beyond you.
Right.
You know, discipling your children well. That's a good thing to do in this life, you know? Not just that, appreciating beauty, man. I mean, just going out and being part of creation, you know? Walking along the edge of a river, just listening to the sounds, feeling that air. It's just like, man, what a beautiful world we live in, man.
And I'm glad you can hear it. You know, that's a nice thing. Yeah. I don't always hear all those noises that I'd like to hear, but... You think catching a sunset, I mean, is a way to go do a beautiful thing and appreciate that gift from God, because that's an amazing thing as well. Yeah. So I want to appreciate. I'm not one of those guys who wants to sit around feeling sorry for myself, you know, whatever I'm going through. Right. I want to think about, look, I'm here to help others. I'm here to minister, to serve, and I'm thankful if I have those opportunities. Mm-hmm. Usually any problems you have, it's not your whole life. And a lot of times when people come into problems, it almost becomes like my whole existence. Like everything's about this problem. Everything's about this hurt. Well, really, it's not about that.
That's right. I sent you a text a couple days ago, actually. I don't know if it was 2 days ago or three, but I sent you a text that David drew his strength from the Lord, you know, and I told you that morning that really spoke to me because that same God that David was able to run to in his times of trouble, and my goodness, his times of trouble, when you read through the historical record, it's like, a lot worse than what I got going on. Oh, you know what I mean? Absolutely. Yeah. And he's able to just recenter himself, go be alone with the Lord, and draw strength from him. Well, God offers the same strength to me and you. And everybody watching or listening to this, he offers the same strength. Go to him, run to him. Draw your strength from him.
It's a gift. And again, just in way of appreciation, just appreciate the life that you have. Appreciate the things that God has given you, because every good gift is from him. So we ought to be thankful. As a characteristic of our lives on a regular basis, be thankful. Yes. And then God is light. I like that too. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights.
Yeah.
And I love that. He is the Father of heavenly lights. In Genesis 1, 3 through 4, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. When I think about the heavenly lights, I think about the sun.
Mm-hmm.
I think about the moon. Mm-hmm. I think about the stars. He is the author of it. If God had not made those things, darkness would prevail. It would just be nothing but dark.
Yeah.
But in the darkness, God put light.
And thank goodness.
And he's the father of it. He's the originator. Now, if God made these lights that we appreciate, think about him. He's the father of it.
Yeah, he dwells in inapproachable light. Right. Like it says that you won't need a sun or a moon in heaven. Because why? Because God lights up. It's constantly lit because God is the light, you know? Right.
And you can't accuse him of darkness. And the one thing about God is he is light. So he's not responsible for the evil things. It says 1 John 1:5, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. Yeah. In him, there is no darkness at all.
I'm telling you, this has been so hard for me to understand for years now. This passage, this is the gospel. God is light.
Right.
So that's the good news?
Right.
God's light? Why is that so good? Well, man, he just illuminates everything in your life. He illuminates the world around you. He brings light into your life. When your life is full of darkness and God, the light of the world, enters into your world, man, it's like, oh, it's so refreshing. It lights up your path. Everything, you know?
Right.
God is all in all.
But I think, too, when you're going through a hard time, it's good to remember that God is light and in him is no darkness at all, because you may start to get discouraged. You may think that God is behind it and that God is somehow involved in doing something bad to you or singling you out, where no, God is light. There is no, we're not supposed to be blaming God for these things. In James 1:13, when tempted, no one should say God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. And this is the one thing we need to realize about God. He's not responsible for evil. That's one of the reasons I'm always so careful about saying God is a reason for everything, because sometimes that gets applied to tragedy. It gets applied to people getting killed by people who are murderous thugs. God doesn't tempt people to murder people. That's God does not want you getting drunk, let's say. God is not the one. He's not going to do anything that's going to cause you to do something evil.
No, actually, in those temptations, he's the one that gives you a way out.
Right. So he's light. So don't be that person, because I do, I have encountered that thinking a lot of times, like, well, I can't trust God. I can't believe in God because God is somehow dark. Now, maybe people look at some of the corruption, and where I think God is different, if you look at the Roman Empire that they lived in at that time, there was a lot of corruption there. There's a lot of corruption in the systems. The religious leadership that puts up Jesus Christ and crucifies him, there's a lot of darkness there.
Yeah.
People might encounter negative experiences at church and think that God is dark because of something that we have done, or maybe we should have done, where you can't look at man, you got to look at God. But God is not responsible. So for me, the thing that keeps me anchored and tethered in the world, in very practical terms, is knowing, hey, God is light.
That's right.
He's not dark. He's good. His love endures forever. Things like that. Keep your focus on he's it's going to be okay. You know, I've got a great God that I follow, a great God that I listen to. So I like it. You know, there's so much light that drives that darkness away. And part of the light that's driving darkness away is the truth.
Thank God for truth, man. Right. Absolute truth. Believe it or not, I know the culture is trying to tell us there is no absolute truth anymore. Right. Believe it or not, that's the lie.
Right.
Like, there is absolute truth. God gave us a precious gift in his word. Man.
Right.
I mean, his Bible, the Bible, what would we be without the Bible, honestly?
Right.
Without that revelation of who God is and who we are and what he's done to redeem humanity. That was all revealed to us in a precious gift called the Bible.
Right.
Wow. You know, and that shines light, right? Your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path.
Yeah, we need it.
Exactly.
Right. I love, man. I've been so enjoying reading through different verses in the book of First Samuel. And just those stories have really been awesome. And I think all of it is very, very motivational.
Yeah, right now I'm once a week I'm in First Samuel. And it's like, oh, it's such a great book. Well,
a lot of relevant things, actually. Oh, you know, so as you go through it, a lot of things that are very relevant for your life. But one of the issue that I would like to speak to is sometimes we get dark in our thinking and we do believe lies. There have been books written called The Lies That We Believe.
Yeah.
Sometimes we hang on to things that just are not true. And so I've made this comment many times to people, just because you believe it doesn't mean it's true.
That's right.
And just because, and the things that people might say that they believe, you know, they don't love me. No one cares. So-and-so is a terrible person. Well, get to know that person.
Yeah.
Right. You know, get to know, maybe just because I've always not allowed other people's comments to color my opinion of someone else anyway. Mm-hmm. I always want to know them for myself, because I want to know what the truth is, not just what someone told me.
Absolutely.
But the truth is really, really important, because you may think no one really cares about me. Mm-hmm. No one really pays attention to me. Nobody really, you know, my spouse, they don't love me, because if they love me, they would do this. I had somebody in my office one day and they said to me, well, my husband doesn't love me because he doesn't text me while he's at work. Well, he was working in a dangerous environment. I said, well, wouldn't you rather him come home at night safely and not be texting? Just because he doesn't text you is not evidence in my part. I talked to somebody else recently about things in her life, and I said, but where's the evidence for what you think? You're making a claim to me. You're saying you suspect or you're worried about something, but where's the evidence of that?
Yeah.
Because there's no evidence. And in my experience, if there is something like this pattern unfolding in somebody's life, there is clear evidence of that. You're not able to give me any evidence.
Yeah. And that's good. I mean, I always go to 2 Corinthians 10, you know, take every thought captive, make it obey Christ. Like you're thinking,
right.
The thinking patterns you have can be very dangerous. I mean, right. You allow those lies into your mind, you know, right. And it's just like, wow, you're being counseled by the enemy. You don't even know it.
Right.
Wow. You know what I mean? I mean,
this is a common problem. I mean, and what we're talking about today is not uncommon. I mean, this is extremely common that people, they get an idea in their head that something's wrong, and there may not, in fact, be anything wrong with it at all. But we've got it in our head that there's something wrong, and there's something going on. And then once that thought is in there, sometimes it's very difficult to eradicate it. So we always have to reset back to the truth. Yeah, but what is the truth?
What is the truth? I think it's difficult because whatever you set your mind to find, you'll find it every time.
Right.
And so if you're looking for that to substantiate the lie that you're believing, you'll probably find it.
Well, absolutely. If you're building a case, you're going to find everything's going into the case.
You know, so I think what you want to do then is combat that with the Word of God.
Right.
Philippians 4:8, for example, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, think about those things.
Right.
Well, you know, people
bend facts too. Like they stretch facts, facts, twist facts.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yes, some of that may be so, but that's not the intent of what you're telling me about. Again, we have to challenge ourselves. I'm not asking us to change somebody else's thinking. I'm just asking you to change your thinking.
Exactly.
The only person I'm worried about right now is you and how you think. And for me, I got to worry about me and how I think.
Take this.
And what I'm saying is I got to come back to that truth. In Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light to my path. So I've got to constantly come back. And what you're talking about is people, I always call it a stew, you know, a bitter stew. Everything goes in the stew after a while. Like once you get sour on somebody and your thinking starts to sour, which is a dangerous thing, by the way, you've got to watch that, because then every single thing that person does is just see.
Well,
it happens in marriage at times.
Yeah.
You start building a sour stew and you start building a case, and then everything your spouse does is part of the stew, even if it doesn't belong there at all.
Right.
You're putting it in there because you're already sour. And as you said, your mind will find what it's looking
for. That's right. So. I mean, so I think I was referring to that too, but it's super dangerous. As I'm going through a personal study of mine at home, I'm finding lies that I've been believing my whole life too. Messages that were written into my heart early in my life.
Right.
That communicate your defective, your disappointment. And so there's insecurities that come up. Whenever anybody even comes close to touching that area of insecurity, you know, I respond. I get defensive. I get, you know, because I want to try and prove that I'm not that.
Right.
But that's been imprinted into my thinking for some reason by a message that somebody inadvertently didn't even know that they did. I won't even mention names, but they didn't even know it. But yet it's affecting me at the deepest core of my heart, you know.
That's interesting. Your
two words, Holy Spirit revealed to me, it was so clear. You're defective. That's what you believe about yourself. You're defective and you're a disappointment. Those are lies that the Father never told me that. The Father, the great, gracious, gift-giving Father, he never said that, Mark, you're defective.
What are those two words?
Defective and a disappointment.
Okay, well, we're all defective. So if you're defective, we're all defective. I mean, let's face it, we're all defective.
Okay.
We all have problems. There's nobody without problems. I mean, I don't think any of us are perfect, and you should expect. But here's one thing, too, and I'll counsel you and anybody as well. Now, this is easier for me than others because I'm not built to really pay too much attention to what people say. I'm not interested if you think I'm defective or not. I'm only interested in what God thinks. I'm going to be considerate of you. Like I'm, I like to be considerate. I want to hear people. I understand, you know, part of my role in leadership, we got to work together. So I'm not just like insensitive. I'm not going to listen to anyone else. I don't really care what you think. But on the other hand, I've always known I can't read myself through the eyes of other people. Like and the words of other people, I can't.
It's the truth.
I'm going to learn when I can. I'm always going to learn when I can. I'm going to always try to be better, but I'm not giving heart.
But I'm telling you, it is so difficult to undo that lie, to operate your life right now. Once it's revealed, I'm starting to notice, okay, I'm doing that strictly from an insecurity.
Right.
Because of that lie.
But isn't that man pleasing in some ways too?
Absolutely.
Okay, but some people are built, Mark, to your greatest fear is that you're going to bust up a relationship or be, or rejection is your greatest fear.
Sure.
My greatest fear is not rejection. Therefore, it doesn't bother me if I get rejected or somebody says right. it, because it's not even my greatest fear. Mm-hmm. I also don't like, I've, power doesn't drive me. So I don't like losing control stuff. Doesn't really drive me. The law doesn't drive me.
Yeah.
But doing well at what I do,
right.
that's the driver.
Yeah.
So my greatest mm-hmm. fear would mm-hmm. be that I would, it would be failure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That mm-hmm. I would blow it, or I wouldn't do a good job. You know, mm-hmm. anything like that. It's like, I focus on, I just really want to do a good job, and I exactly. want to do it for the Lord right. and hear well done, good and faithful mm-hmm. servant. Like that's what drives me. For my wife, she's way more driven by, hey, what is the right thing to do?
Yep.
And her greatest fear yep. would be breaking the law. That's why when it comes to trespassing, she's not. And I do, because again, it's a good thing to know, by the way, I learned this in seminary, what does drive you? And you kind of bring that point yep. up. Are you driven by, like I said, that fear of rejection, a fear yep. of failure, a fear of the loss of control,
yep.
a fear of yeah. Breaking the law? You know, what is it? Because you can be a blend of those things, but it's usually one or the other. And it's kind of really helped me to know, who am I anyway?
That's right.
But so don't worry, but mm-hmm. still, like you said, you can hold on to lies. Any of us can have, like, I might hold a lie, you know, I'm a failure because I didn't do this or that. Well, who asked me to do that in the first place? So we can all set up false parameters for yep. ourselves. Like I have to be perfect, or I have to be everything for everyone, or whatever it is. Be careful of that. But here's the thing with God, as we come to mm-hmm. The rest of James 1:17, he's the father of heavenly lights who does not change like shifting shadows. And what the shifting shadows refer to is the eclipses and shadows that get cast on the moon or the sun. Now, we just came through a total eclipse. Obviously, I mean, one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. The sun went dark. I mean, it was like the lights went out. You wow. could still see. I get it. People are like, it wasn't pitch black. It was like the sun had set. It was like sunset.
Yeah.
It was pretty amazing. And that, wow. I mean, seeing that glimmer of light around the moon as it wow. eclipsed the sun,
wow.
that shadow. And what it's saying here is, in all the movement that God does, there is no shadow on him.
No variations.
No.
None.
No.
He doesn't. He's consistent.
Right.
He's always the same.
He doesn't change.
Right. Exactly.
Great is your faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Classic hymn.
Mm-hmm.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee.
Yeah.
Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be.
Love that.
This goes yeah. right along with James 1:17. So if you're discouraged, if you're struggling a bit, and you feel like, wow, you know, I'm going through so many changes in my life, so many things are happening, remember this. But God doesn't change.
That's right.
And he's going to consistently be here for you. You all have a great and a blessed week.